This is The Takeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee.
And I'm John Huckenberry. And earlier on the program, we were talking about the successes financially and some of the failures in the lapses of behavior and policy of contractors working in Iraq, like Blackwater, and now the contractors working in Afghanistan, who actually outnumber the troops from the Pentagon in that war in Afghanistan. Joining us now is James Carter, professor of history at Drew University and author of the book Inventing Vietnam. He joins us from Madison, New Jersey. James Carter, it seems as though the use of contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan represents something of a marked departure from the use of contractors that perhaps I grew up with in the Vietnam era, where companies like Brown & Root and Bechtel really made money hand over fist and went from being small operations to huge Fortune 500 companies. How is the Vietnam era different from the way we use contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan today?
Well, for one thing, the contractors were represented a smaller percentage of the overall force structure. But I tend to see more continuity there, actually, that some of the sort of usual suspects show up in both instances. Brown & Root is probably the most visible, but also Bechtel and Fluor and Perini and other corporations were heavily involved in Vietnam and via contracts. And they sort of got themselves in the Rolodex early on, and they were available and had substantial resource base and were called upon for Iraq and Afghanistan. So I see a sort of direct historical connection between the two.
As a direct sort of business opportunity, are the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan bigger moneymakers for these contractors than Vietnam was? And what kind of services are we doing in this era versus what was typically contracted out in the Vietnam era?
Vietnam is a bit of a special case in the sense that the U.S. was primarily involved in the southern half of Vietnam, which completely lacked modern infrastructure. So all that had to be built. So there was much, much more sort of large-scale bridge and road and port construction and airfield construction than is the case now. Iraq, for a time, until fairly recently, was a fairly modern state with a developed infrastructure. So that's one of the distinctions. On the question of are these things profitable, corporations tend to complain loudly that they're actually not as profitable as what they could be doing stateside. There's some evidence to suggest that they don't earn as much as they want. They don't make as much profit as they would like to make, but they do fairly well. In the case of Vietnam, the profits represented hundreds of millions of dollars, and the overall value of the projects they put on the ground ultimately represented about $2 billion in finished construction. So they did quite well. Could they have done better? It's difficult to say, but that's been their complaint then, and it's their complaint now that they don't make as much as they could.
They always want more money. Finally, before we go, is it fair to say that the migration into actual tactical operations on the ground, the use of contractors as troops, is a significant change? And how much of the business does that represent in Iraq and Afghanistan if you take the entire contractor domain?
Yes. So the short answer is it's not a wholly something new under the sun, but it's a matter of degree. Yes, there's been an expansion in that private corporations and their employees working directly in sort of operational zones, carrying out sort of combat operations. That is an increasing part of what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that does represent, in my view, a bit of a departure from what was the case in Vietnam. Part of it has to do with it's a much larger story that we don't have time for, I suspect. But part of it has to do with the all-volunteer force and the use of private contractors to make things less politically visible.
Indeed, that's the biggest change. It's about political cover as much as a business model. James Carter, professor of history at Drew University, author of Inventing Vietnam. Thanks so much.
Thank you.